Good morning. A very, very warm welcome to Newbury Baptist Church this morning. It's great to have you with us.
I'd like to remind you about a little course we offer once in a while. Phil, have you got that there for us? Taking the Plunge. Wonderful. You may have heard me mention this before. But you know, sometimes you mention a thing too many times and you don't notice it. So I've got a brand new picture to advertise it this morning. There's a little story that goes with this, though. Like, we go quite often down to Pembrokeshire, and I've always wanted to see the lifeboat launched. So we went down there, and two members of the party waited near the end of the lifeboat ramp. Two members of the party were the other side of the bay. Two members of the party saw the lifeboat launch, and two members of the party were looking the wrong way when it happened. Anyway, for those who were looking the right way, this is how it looked. Great fun that was to watch that happen. Thanks to my brother for putting those together into a GIF for me. So the course covers a number of different things. It might be right for you if you're thinking about getting baptized. It might be right for you if you've got questions around about your faith and you'd like to answer them in a context that's not too intimidating or scary. And the things we look at are on the screen. We talk about becoming a Christian. What do we actually mean by that? What's the Bible for? How do we use it? What about prayer? How do we do that? What is baptism for, and why should people do it? How does the church fit together, and why should I be part of it? Temptation, how do I deal with it? And the role of the Holy Spirit. If you think you might be interested to come to that course and take a plunge with us, then please come and talk to me. Or you could talk to Claire Clifton. She's helped me on this course. Talk to her afterwards and let us know if you'd like to come on that course. Thank you very much. Now listen, as we come to worship together, listen to this description of Jesus before I lead us in prayer together. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets many times and in various ways. But in these last days, He's spoken to us by His Son. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of His being. Let's pray together and then we're going to sing. Thank you, God, for your great patience with us. Thank you, God, for finding a way to get through to us. Thank you for your great love etched on every landscape and directed at every heart and soul. Today, Father, we want to hear your voice. Today we want to see your face. Today we want to taste your presence. Come, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stand.
For your throne of grace, I find rest in your presence and fullness of joy. In worship and wonder, I behold your face, singing, what a faithful God. What a faithful God. Because
continues to play, I'm going to ask you just to reflect on where you've seen his faithfulness in the past week. Maybe a prayer answered. Maybe the right word for the right person at the right time. Maybe his simple, everyday provision. The faithfulness of God. Let's sing together, Faithful One. Didn't have the prayer bag with me last week, but I think it's in here somewhere. Let's have a look and see. Who wants to come and see what I've got in here today then? Come and have a look. Come and have a look and see what I've got inside this bag today. What do you think it's going to be?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Yeah.
Nothing? Oh, I don't think so. What? You need to see what's in there?
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, that's not quite true. There is something in there. Do you want to have a look? Do you want to have a look and see? What can you see in there? What can you see in there? There is one thing.
I can't even see anything.
I'll show you. That's what's in there. My hand. Now, has everybody got a hand?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to stand up. Can you all stand up on this step and face outwards so people can see that you have indeed all got a hand? And can you hold this one up? Can you hold your left one up? All right. And just in case we've got anyone who's hard of seeing, I've got a big one here. I've got to come around the front so you can see me. Brilliant. Okay, now. So hold that left hand up like I'm holding it up. Now, sometimes grown-ups say, I don't know what to pray for. Everyone's got at least five things to pray for. Let's see your thumb first. See your thumb. Now, that's the strongest finger. Reminds you of God and how strong he is. Every time you pray, say thank you to God first. What about this next one? What do people use that for sometimes? What do they tell you off for? What do you use that for? Don't do that, don't they? Well, perhaps they don't say it to you because you're so good, but my mum used to say it to me. Don't. That's your pointing finger. It reminds us to pray for people who are in charge of us. Pray for people who have got authority over us. Perhaps it's the government, perhaps it's our teacher, perhaps it's mum and dad. So we've got, what was the thumb for? God. Remember God who's strong and faithful. This one, to remember people who are in authority over us. Let's see the next finger. It's the biggest one. It's the biggest group. That reminds us to pray for all sorts of other people. Close to hand, far away, doesn't matter who, young or old. So we've got, first one is?
God.
The second one is? People who keep an eye on us. The third one is other people. And what's on this next finger? What's it wearing on there? A ring, that's my wedding ring. And that's to remind us of people in our family. So we pray, say thank you to God. We pray for those who keep an eye on us. We pray for that big group. We pray for our families. What do you think this last little finger might be for? Pray for? Yeah. For us. For me. So we come bottom of the list, actually. So we say thank you to God. We pray for people who look after us or keep an eye on us. We pray for that big group of other people. We pray for our families. And then the last one, we pray for me. Now, can you all hold your left hand up? And I'm going to see if they were listening. So don't you say anything, all right? Don't you say anything. We'll see if they were listening. So what's that first one for? What's this one for? What's the big one for? What's the ring finger for? And what's the little one for? Now, just one other thing I want to say to you. And I'm going to ask them about that again later on. I'll tell you a secret. I heard that talk when I was the same age as probably Samuel. And I've remembered it. And do you know what? Ever since then, I have never been without a prayer list. Because I've always got my hand with me. So if ever you're stuck with something to pray for, you can remember all of those things that are on my great big hand, but they're on your little hand too. Let's remember to pray for those things. Great, go and sit down. Let's go and sing again together, shall we?
Great, please do stand, as he blessed be the name. I'm playing the guitar, so I can't do the actions, so if you know the actions, you can do the actions.
Oh, yes.
Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Be the name of the Lord. Blessed 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 be the name of the Lord Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord Most High.
Do please sit down. And perhaps those going out to their different groups would like to make their way there.
So, good morning. I'm going to read to you this morning from Psalm 91, which is a wonderful psalm all about God's protection and provision. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of my God, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. If you say, "The Lord is my refuge," and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disaster will come near your tent, for He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, the river I will wade, and there my sins are washed away. From the heavens' mercy streams the Savior's love for me. And I will rise from waters deep into the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation songs. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna,
Jesus, lover of my soul, all-consuming fire is in your gaze. Jesus, I want you to know I will follow you all my days. For no one else in history is like you, and history itself belongs to you. Alpha and Omega, you have loved me, and I will share eternity.
We thank you for the sun, the rain, grass and flowers. We thank you that we have food to eat, water to drink, clothes to wear, and people around us who care. We ask you to help us to be aware of those who have less and to love and care for those around us. We pray for our church family and ask that we may be drawn to those in need and offer friendship and comfort. We pray for those who are sad, for those who are anxious, those who are lonely, those who are tired because they had too much to do, those struggling with finance, and those who may be unhappy because of an unkind word or action. Lord, surround those in need with your wisdom, your spirit, your healing, and your life-giving peace. We pray for those who feel that you may not be present in their daily lives or find it difficult to turn their thoughts towards you. Most of all, we thank you for being beside us at all times, whether we recognise this or not. We pray for the family of Jackie Holly, particularly for her mother Dorothy, who is very poorly in hospital in King's Lynn. We pray that the small improvement shown will continue, and that Jackie and stepdad Tony will feel your loving arms around them at this time. We pray for Scott, Philippa and Alistair as they welcome baby Fern into the world. We pray for them and ask all blessings on them as they adjust to life as a family of four. We pray that Fiona is comfortable, peaceful and positive in God's love and knows that she is surrounded by our thoughts and prayers. We pray that Richard has the strength and courage to face each day to care for his wife and continue to serve you as he feels called. And we pray for all those in our church family whose needs may not be known to us. Dear Lord, keep your arms around them and let them feel the strength of our love and caring. We pray for communities in Britain at this time, especially for those communities that have suffered violence or disaster. We ask that your people in those communities be beacons of hope, compassion, and strength, and by their lives be examples of your Son, Jesus Christ, so drawing others to you, our only hope in this world. We pray for our leaders nationally and locally, for the police and emergency services, that they would be strong in leadership, just, honest, and consistent in all they do to serve their communities. We pray for all humankind, and especially for those suffering poverty, persecution, slavery, oppression, injustice, and the effects of conflict and disaster. We ask you to give compassion, wisdom, and courage to your children throughout the world, that they and we may defend those who suffer and the work, and work to bring relief wherever we can. Dear Lord, thank you for this brand new day, and help us to be worthy of it and do something worthwhile in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Daph. It's been so good to hear different voices as we pray together. I want to just look back with you about the different voices we've been overhearing these past few weeks. A little reminder. We overheard David praying, and he was praying from the eye of the storm. He was praying in a state of utter chaos, and yet comes to God and raises his voice to him. We thought about how Mary prays. That's one of many, many depictions of the Annunciation there. That one's by Fra Angelico. It's quite unusual, though, because she doesn't look quite as young as in some of the others, and she's not quite as bowed as she is in some of the other depictions. When we overheard Mary praying, we heard somebody praying with great confidence, but also with great quietness. How does Moses pray? He doesn't pray about spiders, actually, but when I was at primary school, we were told the old Robert the Bruce story about, you know, try and try again with the spider weaving the web across the front of the cave. Moses just goes on and on and on and on and on, praying. He never gives up. That's what we overheard when we listened to him praying. We listened to Paul praying, and he was in prison at the time, and he was praying for the people that he loved in one of the churches he'd planted. And they were not small prayers. He was praying for this wonderful, brand new dawn for them, praying that something wonderful would happen to them. We overheard Hannah praying, and there we heard somebody praying with no limits, de-restricted. We heard somebody praying with huge abandon, praying with abandon, but also abandoning with prayer and putting things at the feet of God. We overheard Jonah praying. And what we heard there was real honesty, but real faith too, saying to God, look, I've messed up, and I'm in this awful place, but I believe that you will hear my prayer. You know, as we've gone through, we've heard all these different voices praying out of chaos, praying out of humility, praying out of fear, praying out of hope. Somehow, from all of them, rises this voice to God saying, look, you, and only you, can do something about this. We're going to sing again together, and after that, Shirley's going to come and read to us. Thank you.
Please do stand.
As we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord. strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. A hope, a strong deliverer. You are the
praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.' Amen."
Thank you very much, Shirley. My friend Colin can fix just about anything that goes wrong on your computer. You know, when you get it into some terrible ravel, you ask him to come round and he sorts it all out. The one thing you don't want to do is to say, "How did you do that?" The reason being, because he'll then tell you. And he'll tell you at 90 miles an hour with several windows open and assume that you understand it all. Asking an expert, how did you do that, is not always the wisest thing to do. Now, rabbis were in the habit of teaching their disciples to pray. They all had their different styles of doing it. In fact, it says here in verse 1, can you teach us to pray, Jesus? Because John taught his disciples to pray. The interesting thing here, though, is in that little reading that Shirley read to us, they ask him because they've watched him. When they've watched Jesus praying, it's in response to that, and they then say, please, Lord, will you teach us to do it? After watching Jesus at prayer, they do what I never did with Colin and say, how did you do that? How do you do that, Lord? Now, over the past weeks, we've listened to different people praying. We've listened as one person cries out to be a mother, and another one humbly accepts the responsibility of being a mother. We've listened as a king and a leader cry out to God to be their king and leader. We've listened as a prophet imprisoned in a whale and an apostle imprisoned in jail send their prayers up like flares against the night sky. And now here's the master at it. How's Jesus praying? The person who needed to pray the least, but who shows us the most how we ought to go about it. And here's the first thing I want to notice with you, that he prays from the mind. Jesus asked, look, how do we do this prayer thing? He says to pray from the mind. He says, Father. God is addressed as Father in the prayer, which of course is true, and we know it to be so. Buried deep down in the self-awareness of God's people is the sense that he is their Father. Way, way back during the enslavement of his people in Egypt, he talked about them as being like his firstborn child. So they kind of knew in their heads that that was true. But you know and I know there is a world of difference between knowing something to be true and feeling it to be true. There's a world of difference between knowing that something is a fact and it impacting you in such a way that it becomes an instinct. There is a massive gulf of difference between factual truth and experienced reality. Hey, listen, almost 30 years ago, about 2 hours after Fiona and I were married, I stood up in the ballroom of the Rusacks Marine Hotel, and as the groom, I made reference to my wife and I in my little speech. Felt a bit like I was pretending, actually. Felt a bit like I couldn't possibly mean it so soon after it happened. It felt like the kind of thing that other people and grown-ups did. I'm kind of used to it now, 30 years on. I kind of getting hold of the idea. Listen, every time that you or I use the word Father when we pray, we are teaching our minds to adjust to what has been the theological reality all the way along. Who are the sons and daughters of Jesus? Who are the sons and daughters of God? Who are the brothers and sisters of Jesus? Well, Jesus says it's those who hear my word and who obey it. Using the word Father every single time we pray will probably continue to feel unnatural right up to the point where we do it face to face with him in heaven. But every time we do it, it strengthens the mind to grasp hold of the fact of our adoption. Listen, long, long ago, I gave up on the whole idea of trying to work out how sovereignty and free will work together. You know, that messes with your head if you think about it too much. But if it is true in any which way that God has chosen me, if it is true in any which way that God, with the whole of creation to choose from, says, I want you and you and you, if that is true, then every time that I say Father in a prayer, whether I say it under my breath, whether I say it out the front here when I'm leading you in prayer, every time I use that word, I am declaring the scarcely believable fact that the God of the universe has adopted me. Father, hallowed be your name. Nothing that any of us can do will ever make God any more holy than he is already. But as his children, or at least those who are learning to act like his children, we can choose to hold him in the highest esteem. We can choose to bend the steel of our wills to the former of his character And that's what we're doing when we say, hallowed be your name. Jesus asked by his disciples, how did you do that when they watched him pray? He says, look, pray from the mind. Teach your mind to think differently by calling him Father, saying, hallowed be your name. He says also, pray from the feet. Believe it or not. Verse 2, he goes on to, Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. You know, one of the things that came home to me when I was writing that most recent book about the journey was the fact that the journey motif is there all the way through Scripture. People travel from Eden out into the world. They travel from the world back onto the ark. They travel off the ark and back out into the world. They travel down into Egypt. They travel back out of Egypt. They travel off into exile. They travel back from the exile. They then scatter to the four corners of the earth after the persecution of Stephen early on in the book of Acts. All those coloured maps in the backs of your Bibles with little arrows going around them, they're all evidence that God's people are always on the move. There's that great description in Hebrews chapter 11 of the people of faith. All these people, it's given a big long list earlier on in the chapter. Hebrews 11 verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. It gives this wonderful word picture of God's people, like a long, straggly line of refugees stretching off into the distance, and all of them leaning slightly forward as they reach out for something that they haven't got yet, and looking along the way like those who are no more than temporary residents in this place. Every prayer we pray, regardless of whether we're standing, sitting, or kneeling, whatever, every prayer we pray is a prayer on the move. Every prayer we pray is a prayer on the move as we lean into it and we move towards that new dawn that God is preparing for his people. So whether we're praying for the success of some mission outcome, whether we're praying for the healing of a friend, whether we're praying for the resolution of a conflict, maybe even if we're praying for a new job, all of those prayers are prayers prayed on the move. All of them are kingdom prayers, prayed as the kingdom which cannot yet be seen is being built, quietly and discreetly, like the wheat growing up among the tares. When Jesus says to pray, your kingdom come, it is a reminder that our prayers should never be purely and simply about the here and now, but that there is always an element of the there and then. Watch this amazing prayer happening. They say, how did you do that? He says, call him Father. Change the way you think. Ask that his name be hallowed. Pray for the kingdom to come. Pray from the feet. Pray, he says, from the hands as well. Give us this day our daily bread. Some people think that's talking about the far distant future. They think it's talking about the great banquet at the end of all time, where every table will be groaning and every plate will be piled high and nobody will want for food or drink or company or joy. They think it's talking about then. I think it's talking about now. I think there's a fundamental lesson for us here. Jesus, who's been asked to tell them how the heck he did that, how the heck he prayed like that, he says, well, pray from the mind and think differently about God. Pray from the feet and never let your prayers be prayed from a place that's stationary. You're always on the move towards God's new day. He says, pray from the hands that you might thank God for what he's already put in them. What does Jesus do just before he feeds the 4,000? He lifts his eyes and he gives thanks to God. What does Jesus do just before he feeds the 5,000? He lifts his eyes and he gives thanks to God. What does Jesus do just before he issues a loud command to Lazarus and calls him to come out of the tomb? He gives thanks to God that he can do such things. Remember, you've all got your prayer list. No excuses. And remember that first one, God, the strongest one, that always we should give thanks to him. You see, Jesus says, pray from the head, pray differently. Pray from the feet because you're always on the move. Pray from the hands because you need to learn again, brothers and sisters, to be grateful for the simplest things that you have in your hands. In fact, if you were to try it now, I'm not going to suggest you do, but if you plunged hand into pocket or hand into handbag, you would probably feel money or car keys or your house keys or photos of the ones that you love or maybe the ID that proves who you are to other people. We have lost touch with the ordinariness of God's provision. We have grown used to these things, and we have cars to drive and homes to live in and money to pay the bills and all of those things. We need to learn again to be thankful for the things we count as ordinary. The other day I put the following on Twitter. I said, have we maybe lost holiness down the back of the machinery of church? A bit like you lose a coin down the back of the sofa. Judging by the number of people who got back to me after that, quite a lot of people think that is the case. We need to pray from the hands, looking in them and seeing what we hold there, which all of which are evidence of God's goodness to us. Some years ago, at a harvest festival, I asked people to bring and present at the front of the church the work of their hands. And some people brought cakes that they had baked. Somebody brought his PhD certificate that he'd been awarded the previous week. Somebody who was just learning as an adult to do joined-up handwriting brought a story written in blunt pencil. And they laid them all on the table at the front of the church. When Jesus says to pray, give us this day our daily bread, he's not saying if you don't pray, you won't get it. But he is actually saying, if you don't pray, you won't get it. That all these things come from God. Pray from the head, thinking differently. Pray from the feet. Never pray in a stationary way. We're all leaning forward. We're all on the move. Pray from the hands, grateful to God for every blessing. And pray from the heart as well. Forgive us our sins, verse 4. For we also forgive everyone who sins against us. We pray as flawed creatures who need to know and show forgiveness. You know, sometimes when you look back at your working life and you shudder at the things that you got away with. I think at the time that I said to the leaders of the church I was in at the time, I want the church to host an exhibition called The F Word. Can you imagine how that went down? It was brilliant, actually. It's an exhibition put together by someone who was involved in the Truth and Reconciliation hearings in South Africa. And she has travelled around the world with a photojournalist. And she's recorded the stories of those who both can and cannot forgive. And they're just displayed on these big panels with the photo and the story beside them. I remember the week that we launched that in the church, our local MP at the time was Vince Cable. It happened to be the week that Charles Kennedy had been told that you could not be drunk in charge of a political party. Vince Cable happened to have been the person who told him that. And he came in and he looked round this exhibition on the F word, forgiveness, and he just kind of nodded and said, yeah, we need to know that, don't we? We need to understand that. Every time we pray these words, Father, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us, it's a check to us to remind us that we are actually living the reverse law of the jungle so that we don't so much look out for number one as we look out for the other ones. It's a reminder to us that we must learn to forgive if we are to live in fellowship until he comes again. And he says, lead us not into temptation. From the second we adopt faith, we become vulnerable fledglings. Which is why Jesus uses terms like dear children or little children or orphans or sheep. Every day that we choose to live as Christians, we walk a tightrope between faith and doubt. Every day we walk along a narrow bridge with a sheer drop to either side. Down that side lies the temptation of sin. Down that side lies the temptation to give up on an invisible God and say he was never there at all. Straight ahead lies the narrow way of faith. And Jesus says, if you want to walk on that narrow way every day, then you're going to have to pray for forgiveness every day, if it's going to be possible. Jesus says, pray from the head and think differently. Pray from the feet, because all your prayers are leaning into the onward journey, praying on the move. Pray from the hands, remembering what I have given to you, and pray from the heart too. You know, I've only got one more sermon to preach in this series, and then we'll finish July with a festival of prayer with different groups bringing their prayers into the service and enjoying that together. But before I almost finish the series, can I make a confession to you? I think the easiest thing in the world would be for me to go on and on and on talking about prayer. You know, we could have another sermon series, we could have a series in the small groups, we could do all of those things. We can always say, I just need a little bit more teaching on it. I just need another sermon series. I just need another prayer, another small group series on it. No. Not really. What we need is to launch out and do it. We could go on from now until the Lord returns saying, I just need a little bit more understanding. But what we need to be doing more than anything else is stepping off the brink and actually experiencing it. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that Jesus taught us how to pray. And we ask for your Spirit's help that we might do it without fear, without regret, that we might step out and learn to pray. As we do it, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're the kind of person who's going to get home at lunchtime and think, now, hang on, it was hands, head, feet, nose, what was it? There's some little bits of paper, sort of wallet size. They'll be on the table by the coffees afterwards that just remind you what those things were. If that's helpful to you, then please do take one. This last hymn was written as a hymn to celebrate the anniversary of your conversion to faith. And it was written with 17 verses. We are going to sing 6 of them this morning. Let's stand up and sing together.
Oh,
now we ask the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, might be upon us all and all God's children throughout the whole world. Amen.